Welcome to the Broken Bird Forecast. Venue, studio, river, new. Population, kettle, one. Tortoise name, Scoops. Result, edge.
Welcome to the Broken Bird Podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to the Broken Bird Podcast. I am Lawrence.
And I am Tom.
And we are storytellers.
Professional storytellers.
Professional storytellers wandering the countryside with our tortoise. We are, as we said last time, entreflaneurial.
It's a word.
It is a word. We've made it and we're very happy about the whole thing.
And for our contact details, you can find us at BrokenBirdATP on Twitter, BrokenBird Theatre on Facebook, and our email is brokenbirdcompany@gmail.com.
Coming up in today's show, we have for you a series of interesting facts.
We have our weather report, a view from the ocean.
We are going to be talking to you about shows we've seen throughout the week.
And an interview with the country's most exciting superhero, Porpoise Man. Is he better than Aquaman? We'll find out. And so we take our stories to anywhere that will take us. We've been to multiple places.
We have been to a field.
We've been to a haunted fairground.
And last week you saw us in a tree in the middle of the outback.
And now you currently join us in the middle of the ocean.
We are in a coracle being towed along by Farrokh's wonderful steampunk, miraculous sound booth.
If anyone listened to the last episode, I got struck by lightning.
Yes, how are you, Tom? You okay?
I got struck by lightning, Lawrence.
Yes,
I've been better.
Are you okay? Oh, we've been better. Well, we've all been better, Tom.
Most of my hair is gone. I had a luscious beard, but now...
Had is the operative word in this particular sense. But, yes, so that's happened.
You dragged me unconscious. Where did you even get a coracle?
Look, I got help. You know the naturist that we had that was going to come on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, he turned up. Turns out, naturist, not what we thought it was.
He wasn't wearing anything, was he?
No, not a thing. Not a thing. Though he was wearing a wonderful pair of thongs.
Oh, good.
So that was good. So he did some revival, and then we built a coracle from the tree. The koalas weren't a huge fan of us doing that, so we had to sort of leg it a bit. So yes, we're jaunting our way back across the ocean. We are assuming that the ghosts have been appeased and that all is well. So, onwards and upwards. Should we check the weather quickly?
Weather report.
Let's look up and... It's weathery.
It's weathery. There's
it's very weathery.
Clouds. There's a slight wind. Seagulls.
Yep.
So we must be nearish to land.
We must be somewhere.
Do you happen to have any form of chart, any kind of GPS?
I have a direction.
Is that just you spitting into the wind and hoping we head the right
way?
No,
you don't spit into the wind, Tom. You should know that by now. If you'd done any sailing at all, you'd know that you do not spit into the wind. It goes straight back in your face,
and you
that's
don't
no fun.
Tug on Superman's cape, and you don't mess around with Jim.
Precisely.
I know the song.
Good. Excellent stuff. Okay.
Should we start this off with interesting facts?
Let's start off with interesting facts and we can move on. We'll do a few interesting facts and we'll see what we're doing. And rock on from there.
Interesting facts.
Should I start?
Yes, fire away, Tom.
Okay, have you ever seen the classic horror movie The Wolfman?
I have, yes.
Lon Chaney. If you watch the trailer... There's a scene where the Wolfman fights a bear.
Yes.
That isn't in the film, because while they were filming the film, the bear ran away, and they never found him. No idea where the bear went. I like to think that bear, what is it, like 70 years later, might still be out there in the mountains.
He's probably having a grand old time.
Like, oh, yes, darlings, I used to be in theatre, I used to be in film, you know.
I was in the film, I had to fight Lon Chaney.
Yes, yes. Back in the day, lovely chap.
Tried to eat his face.
Yes, quite. Excellent.
So, I have...
Stayed in the bear voice there for a second. I had an interesting fact as well, but I think
I'll save it for later.
Like the saving of the biscuits.
Like the saving of our biscuits for our wonderful show of Boxes and Stones, which is currently touring.
Okay, Frox, cut the rope.
Frox, why have you cut the rope? What is happening? Why is...
You okay?
I'm okay. You?
Think so. Do you have any torches or anything? It's very dark in here.
I have my magic. No, that's broken. Frock?
He's gone.
He's left us.
And he's left the recording device. The most expensive part of this whole procedure, and he's left it behind.
Great. Okay.
That's okay.
So that was, I'm assuming, a whale. Something big. Something big. Should we just test out the sounds? Hello? Hello? Is there anyone there?
Hello!
Oh, goodness me. Hello?
They're barking.
They're barking. Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
Oh,
okay.
So I'm assuming dogs?
Dogs, not a good thing. We're birds.
We are birds.
They're dogs.
Dogs, that's never a good thing. So now is probably the best time to introduce our...
Who's that?
Hello.
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 Ladies and gentlemen.
Bark.
I have the delight.
The eternal delight of inviting you to meet our...
I think it is.
Oh, hey there, Titty.
Oh, God.
Hi.
Thomas, where have you been?
Hi, Tierra.
Lorenzo.
Ebony.
Mr. Samuel, I should probably stop here and introduce one of our sister companies, one of the... our opponents, we might wish to say.
Friends.
Superiors.
Except that we make art and you make toast.
Yes, but our toast is actually worth people's time.
Please don't antagonize them. Please especially don't antagonize them.
At home, ladies, Thomas. Gentlemen, all in between, I introduce to you Bark.
Hey, the best theatre company ever.
The best theatre jam Comfrey. There has ever been made. Comfreys, yes.
So, yeah. Let's ignore for a moment why they've decided to follow us into a whale. Just go around, introduce yourselves to the folks at home.
Hi, my name's Jen, and you followed us here. We were here first. Hi, my name's Ruth.
I'm Anna.
Tierra.
And I am Sam.
Sham.
That's right, we're fitting five excitable young things around one microphone. This is...
in a whale.
It's really cozy. Belly of the beast.
You're not fitting us, we're fitting you.
Oh, well, that just sounds...
We're all touching.
They've climbed into the coracle with us now. This is...
oh, there we are.
We are
all sitting in the belly of the beast, floating along on a digestive tract of joy.
So do you have a way to get us out of here, or are you just going to do nothing?
Well, we figured, since we're here anyway, and it wasn't really going anywhere upstairs, we might as well do a quick interview. So we should probably introduce you properly. So Bark are a wonderful theatre company.
Interview with the guest. Interview with the guest. Interview with the guest.
Thank you for having us, birds.
That's all right. That's all right. So why don't you all tell us a little bit about what it is Bark is up to at the moment?
Ignoring the whale.
Ignoring the whale.
Hi, birds. Thank you very much for having us along. We're really excited because, we're here to talk about in this belly, beautiful belly of this whale. We'd like to talk about our next show that we are working on, and it is called Number One.
Why don't you quickly let us all know exactly how the show's working at the moment? Because telling us about what it's about would be somewhat difficult, but... just talk everyone through what's going on with Bark.
Do you like Huey Lewis in the News?
Yes. Don't do the entire show. We haven't got time for that.
So, you mean how is Number One going?
How's Number One going? What's involved? What can the audience be led to expect?
Yeah.
They are now currently...
They are debating amongst themselves as who knows what's
they're
actually happening in the show.
Gently scrapping, and now they're slightly biting each other.
No.
Well, number one is a mashup of, like, crime scenes and improvisation, and it's a puzzle for the audience. And it's going well.
Excellent. It should be probably mentioned that you have an element of letting the audience decide the course of the show. Is that not true?
That is true. So we look, we're interested in how the audience can be part of the creative process from the beginning. Mm. So we send out a provocation video this time, and we ask our audience members to respond to it, and we get some of that material, and then we use that in the show, and that will, it will change the course of events in the show. So basically, if you put a little something in, then something a little surprising might come out of it.
I am saying nothing about that comment.
You can find our Facebook page, Bark, on Facebook.
And you also have a fairly lovely website, as I remember.
Yes, we do. That website is www.barktheatre.com.
That's www.barktheatre.com. That's Wendell William Wally dot Bravo Alpha Romeo Kilo Theatre Helicopter Elephant Alpha Theatre Roger Everyone dot Come on Mom.
Bark have just learnt the phonetic alphabet. Not well, but they've tried, and we thank them for it.
How do you spell theatre? Why don't you spell theatre?
Oh, dear.
Please don't make fun of the lack of... David Land said that excellence is the ability to convey complexity, and I think that's what you just heard.
So, yes, you can totally check us out on our website and our Facebook and our Twitter at Bark Theatre. That's at B-A-R-K. No, I won't do it.
Anyway, so...
Moving swiftly on.
So, moving on to other questions. Bark, why?
Why the name?
Just why.
Why Bark?
Just why. Oh. Generally, why
Bark?
We think
Bark? It's quite punchy.
Thanks, Ruth.
It's okay, Jen.
Why Bark? Well, we are all formed in a company in April. We came together because we quite like messing around and playing and stuff. And we see ourselves as a bit of everything. So we believe in the ultimate of collaboration. The name Bark came about when we found ourselves walking from the Forensic Museum back here into this whale. And we were walking through a park, and we said we're going to have our name by the time we get there. And we just started naming things we were looking at, so like tree, grass, bench. And then we put them together like
child.
Yeah. Like benchy child.
And emotional garage.
Yeah, that was nearly us. And then, dogs.
Bench.
That was scared. That's the backside of
the microphone. I like talking into the backside of a microphone.
Sam was just talking there, but he's it's not important.
I just pick you up on something you said earlier. Are you saying that you were walking from there to here, this whale?
Yes.
So you have been based inside this whale for quite a long time?
Yes, yeah.
Yes. Have you actually been outside of the whale?
Well, I mean, do you need to go outside of the whale? Is the question we want to ask.
See, actually, we find that inside this whale, it's a free rehearsal space, and that's really hard to come by in London.
Excellent stuff. Nothing like rehearsing. And you know, there's nice padding on the walls, so the sound quality is interesting.
Mm. So that's reverb.
Reverb.
Yes, like that.
Like that. Precisely like that. So, yes, excellent stuff. Lovely to have you here, stuck with us in this...
I think, actually, we're here with them.
Are we here with them?
Yeah. This is like Rorschach in Watchmen. We're trapped in there.
You're invading our pre-rehearsal space.
We can only apologise. No. Could we offer you some delicious chocolate biscuits?
We have penguins. Would anyone like a penguin?
Thomas, you know I don't like chocolate.
I apologise.
We like gingerbread.
You'll get some gingerbread.
Are you here because your rehearsal space is, quote, shit?
Oh. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a reference to the fact that we are currently using the rehearsal space of the renowned company Shit Theatre, who are phenomenally been very kind to let us pay them for their rehearsal space.
They let us have a kettle.
We have a kettle. Mm. And plants. And also a bar.
But not a bark.
Not a bark, thankfully. No. Thankfully, no. So, Bark, we would like to quickly discuss now, I think, things we have seen over this last couple of weeks.
What we've seen around town. What we've seen around town.
Yay!
So, I think we'll start with you guys. Have you guys seen anything of particular interest that's thrilled you?
This can be theatre, this could be what you saw out of the whale's eye, or...
Or anything. The Eye of the Whale. Mm. That's a good band name.
It's the Eye of the Whale. It's the whale eye. Girl. Dang it.
To the challenge of...
What have we seen?
Well, we saw King Lear. We saw King Lear with sheep. Not particularly thrilled by that.
Would you not... Yep, talk about that. We discussed that in the last episode, but we'll be interested to hear your version of the event.
Other than Tom just scowling down a microphone.
It is, you know, justifiably, we all love animals here. I think that's safe to say. Mm. But it is not justifiable to just herd a bunch of them on stage and then talk and then leave. That's it.
Are you saying that was what happened in the entire show? That was it? He just talked on stage with some animals?
Pretty much.
So it was essentially a petting zoo. I was right last time. Mm. They
no,
literally
because you
in.
Could get E. coli from the sheep, so you shouldn't pet them.
You weren't allowed to fondle the cast.
Yeah, that's... yeah.
Well, I don't know what this newfangled theatre's doing at the moment, honestly. Can't fondle the cast. What's going on?
As Jen would say, where's the fire?
Well,
I do say that.
To be fair.
That's not to say that we're recommending setting sheep on fire.
I was going to say, a load of flaming lamps. That's interesting, actually. So when I was at university, very first week, they did a sort of the firemen and the police came in and they started talking to us about fire safety and bloody blah, because, you know, if you put 80,000 students in a city, someone is probably going to set fire to something. And one of the videos they showed us was about being careful when you're drinking and when you're smoking and make sure you have a good time. And there was this guy in a sheep costume. Made of cotton wool. Who, we saw in the video, him do tequila shots, spill half of it down himself. We then see him go out of the bar with a cigarette in hand. And then 2 seconds later, you see a flaming sheep running past the window, screaming and rolling around. He then runs into the pub, and all of the Mancunians just sit there and absolutely nothing happens. They're just sitting there laughing. Completely oblivious to the entire situation. So that is what happens when you put sheep and fire together.
So you're saying this is a CCTV?
This is CCTV. This is genuine CCTV footage.
So you were watching a man burn to death, pretty much.
Oh, no, they put it out in the end, but, you know. Mm. Anyway.
At least there's lots of water here now, Lauren.
That's true. Mm,
that's true. There is no danger of fire in this particular way.
So this is the thing. We don't have to worry about burning. We do have to worry about starving to death, though. Unless you guys... Do you have a ready supply of food?
Krill, duh.
Duh.
Krill.
At least we have krill.
We do have krill. Are we going to grill the krill?
Barbecue.
Put another shrimp on the barbie, eh?
Shrimp on the barbie, mate. Hey, tasty. All right.
Thomas, you look bored.
I'm not bored. I'm just enjoying... getting invaded by a bunch of dogs.
It doesn't show.
Okay, happy face.
Show it more. Okie doke. So, yes, so King Lear was not a hit.
We also saw Ursula Martinez.
Ooh. Mm.
Ace.
Yeah, really, really good.
So why don't you tell us a bit about Miss Martinez then?
I'm not allowed to swear.
You can swear away.
I just wanted to say that she was fucking amazing. Like, she proper had, the fire. She was really smart. Like, her choices were really clear. She had, like, three really clever like things that she stuck with, and she just like followed it through to the end, and it was just really political and really funny and really relevant and really what theatre should be. We think.
And she totally took risks of offending people and of being completely honest and being really, really real and talking about her life growing up and being a lesbian and being a woman and sort of race issues. And the whole, meanwhile, the whole time she's building a brick wall with bricks and mortar right in front of you. And she's in this beautiful suit and she's just, every single thing that was there needed to be there and it just went. And then at the end, when she builds to the ending moment, it is just, it's so completely, she's earned everything she's been doing and she earns it. And it was totally, totally stunning.
Brilliant. What was the name of the show?
Oh, question.
It was Ursula Martinez.
Free admission.
And it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Free admission.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, check that out or go to her website. I'm sure if you search her online, she'll be there.
We don't know if it's still going. But yeah, it's a really, really good piece. The way all of the bits worked, like the most powerful image in the whole thing for me was watching this wall go up and her being like, dressed the way she was and doing what she was doing and saying what she was saying as this thing was going up, it was just, yeah, stunning. And then, and she built the wall really well as well. That was the thing. It wasn't...
it was the masonry that impressed us.
Making up that she was building. Like, she actually did build a wall really well.
Lovely.
Tierra is dissenting. Tierra's like, no, well,
I didn't test it. I didn't throw anything at it. I'm not certain
is that how you test walls?
Structurally sound, but it looked... It looked level. It looked relatively level, so we'll give her that.
You wouldn't give her a certificate of safety, though.
You can only know if a wall is secure if you've thrown something very hard at it, like a person. Body, yeah.
Or a bird.
Or a whale. Or a wrecking ball.
I feel this can go on for a while, so I'm going to move us along.
Or an egg. A big egg.
Ball. Omelette.
Depends on the side of the bird.
Fried egg.
Do you know cows kill 5 times more people than sharks?
I did know that.
You did know
that.
Did you?
Who did? Who does?
I'm from the country. I know these things.
You have to speak up in here.
Cows kill 5 times more people than sharks.
What, from mad cow disease?
No, from trampling them.
From falling on them.
Well, did you know cows contribute to pollution by their farts?
Yes, yes.
The methane.
Because we all did GCSE science.
Don't be crass.
Not being crass, being honest. They fart and then that goes into the atmosphere and it's really dangerous.
Who else kills things, Thomas?
Well, what else we learned last week that
I think
in fact,
that hippos are quite dangerous compared to rhinos and even alligators and sharks too.
And we worked out that last week that koalas will actually kill you with their chlamydia.
Do you know what animal kills the most people every year?
Is it the man, Sam?
It's the mosquito.
It is the mosquito, Tom.
I believe I get my star.
Oh, Tom's getting a star.
I also believe that a mosquito technically isn't an animal.
What would you call it? An insect?
Let's talk more about...
Sam has just come thundering through. It's Farrokh.
Hooray!
Farrokh has gay! And he seems to be... I think he may have come back just to tell Ruth, in fact, that the mosquito is an animal. I think that is all that's brought him back. It's not loyalty.
Ruth, do you have any interesting facts to
do
just
make
finish
up for that?
Ruth is full of interesting facts every day.
Perfect.
Interest us, Ruthie.
Be interesting.
Ruth's fascinating facts.
Fact of the day. A fact I can randomly put out of my head. The involuntary muscle contraction that your intestine does is called peristalsis.
And that was Ruth's fascinating facts!
Fascinating.
Well, thank you, Broken Bird, for putting up with Bark, and thank you, Bark.
Subsume us.
Yes, you are diminished.
I believe our bones are not quite hollow.
However, they are solid. I don't know. There
we go. It's called pneumatization. You're a bird. You should know this.
We say we're birds, but is Batman a bat?
How pathetic. Yes. Absolutely.
Is he Batman?
Mm-hmm. Is he Batman?
He's a man that's about... There's man bat.
I think
there's
the man listeners bat. Should know about our war.
We should probably tell
them. Okay, yes, let's get on to the elephant in the room. Why they well ate an elephant, we'll never know.
But, so yes, the elephant in the room. Tom should probably introduce this, because I wasn't really involved in this. I've been behaving myself. Also, I can't use Twitter.
You are involved, Lawrence.
Fine. Go on, then.
It started when we, innocently sitting in our cafe office, working hard...
Our coffice.
Our coffice. Received a video of a book.
Bark is giggling away to themselves, very happy of what they've done.
Do you remember what the title of the book was?
I would be happy.
It's footage of them. I would be happy.
If it weren't for you, Thomas.
I have to mention, every time they say something like this, Bark all as one just turn and stare at me intensely.
Whereas I'm having a grand old time.
You're fine.
I'm fine. I'm safe.
They've climbed into the coracle and now are basically lying on top of me, intensely staring into my eyes.
All sitting on his chest. Tom has a very large chest.
And barrel-chested.
He is.
Okay, so Bark then began to mock us through literature, including, well, my comeback wasn't a great one, where I found the wonderful book Fuck You, Penguin, which... Of course, they turned back on me with the comment that as a bird, I would be the penguin. So, yes, this has now began a month-long
Twitter campaign.
Where Bark will take any opportunity to mock us or battle us. And unfortunately, we're not up to the task.
Mainly because there are two of us. We feel slightly outnumbered.
That's because we make art. And you... make toast.
And once again, at least our toast is worth eating.
Shall we?
Go.
I think we can do it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Oh dear, what's that? They planned something.
Well, birds.
Oh no. On our own podcast.
We have a way of explaining our history between the birds and barks.
Okay.
And we will go ahead and fart.
This is war.
Ancient times, all bird and fowl befriended all the hounds. Love sealed with paws and claws forecasted a new age. But who had heard a bird and hound could ever remain friends? And so it starts this epic tale of never-ending rage. Taken for granted, the friendship went amiss. The birds took flight and left the hounds a-howling in the mist. And though they swore they would return, all leaves had fallen down. When dogs decided feathered fiends should all be brought aground. Two medallions, two power swords, two companies entwined. We challenge you, pathetic too, and now you are obliged. What will happen next? From here, what is the plan?
What are you gonna do to us?
We're gonna do the best we can.
This story is a sad one, it has no happy ending. The feud goes on and on and on. What will happen?
Well, thank you very much, I think, for that. You know, as storytellers, we often come across a lot of guff.
They're going to eat us, Lawrence.
They're going to eat you. I'm fine.
1672, Dutch merchants consumed the Prime Minister because he got in the war with France. This is prescient. Bark are going to eat us.
It's very dumb.
With a nice Chianti.
Oh, well, I am so sorry, but no. It's...
He did that to make...
Are you going to do the rest of the line, or are you just going to...
Oh, go on.
Looks like you've done that a lot.
I am an expert. What can I say with I had him for dinner with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
That was appalling.
That was better. Well, at least I have a believable American accent, Tiara. So what we've learnt here today is that we are, in fact, Bark's muse. And, that makes us feel quite nice.
It's nice to be respected.
It's nice to be respected and loved.
You can't help but think about us, can I? You write about us.
You write songs
about us. In your little diaries,
us.
Your journals.
You remind me of a painting I saw at the Louvre, which I believe I shared with you, Thomas, in confidence, which was a man sitting, a composer of some type, sitting with his muse standing behind him with her hand over his head, and he looked bloody bored.
He looked very disappointed that the muse
Indeed.
Has come back once
Indeed.
Again.
Well, to be fair, that's probably because the muse was behind him, darling.
What? I'm sorry. Can you clarify what you meant by that, Lawrence?
He couldn't see her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was behind him.
Is that all?
Well, she also wasn't blowing him off, and that's a terrible thing.
Oh.
And you pushed me to it,
in
and Frog's
taste.
Probably going to edit that out.
Blowing him off?
No, okay. I'm sorry, Mum.
Do you call it blowing him off? Is that the term you use?
That's the term a lot of us use, Tom, darling.
I don't understand sex
I
as it is, so...
I don't use that term, Lawrence. You've actually started a bit of a problem, it seems.
Oh, dear.
Ruthie's
what do you mean,
pissed.
Started a bit of a problem? You are a bit of a
you
problem.
You don't want to make Ruthie upset.
She has the anger
really
in her.
Really don't want to make Ruthie upset.
Okay, well, I'm just gonna stand on this stepladder, and then I should be fine.
Why is there a stepladder in the whale?
Why not? The whale has devoured what it
That's
wished
still
to.
Too short, Lawrence. You need to go on a slightly higher one.
So the implication there was Ruth is actually quite short and I'm fairly tall, but it's been turned on my head because, you know, radio.
We have established that Ruth is very good at climbing things.
She is very good at climbing things. The greasy pole, for a start.
Will you stop sexualizing
stop
our guests?
I'm sorry,
yes.
That was a political comment.
We're going to send you right out the blowhole of this whale if you don't stop it, Lawrence.
Careful.
And she is good at climbing. She's good at climbing up trees and taking you down.
More fool you. I live in a mountain.
Stare you down.
What else?
Why are you? Well, we were trying to get back home, and frankly, this has all become rather aggressive.
I quite like it here, to be honest.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? It's a small, dank space, and you're you've just got a victim complex, and you like using it.
Were you going to tell us a story or something?
I can tell you a story. What story would you like to hear?
Well, a good night story, Thomas.
A good night story.
Oh.
We can do that.
Go ahead.
Oh, cricket. It's night time in the whale.
Within a valley, broad and deep, there lay a village, quite asleep.
I need a new one. I've heard that one.
You've heard this one.
You guys are storytellers. Tell us a new story. Come on.
A new story that you have never heard
Thomas,
before.
Thomas, you need to get out on this.
One that no one's ever heard. A new story.
Okay, then I will require from you, Bark, I will require from you a location. Is it a city? Is it a town? Is it a field? Or is it a valley? Or a mountain?
It is the inside of a whale.
On the inside of a whale. And who is our hero? Or heroine? I think hero is a non-gendered word now, isn't it?
It is.
Good. Okay, then our hero.
How about a plankton?
The hero is a plankton. And what does the plankton want?
Are we making up this story, Lawrence, or are you?
I'm making up the story.
The plankton wants to be as big as a whale because it will make him powerful in the ocean.
So once upon a time... because it annoys Tiara. There was a plankton. A small, insignificant plankton, floating through the vast depths of the ocean. Surrounded by thousands of its brothers, each and every one the same, each born the same day, the same hour, the same time. No difference between any of them. Drifting as a cloud through the empty deep. Now one day, a mighty surge came through the waves. A great blue whale.
The great whale feasted upon the field of plankton. And it was that our hero, this little plankton, one of millions, was consumed.
No!
Thousands and thousands were dragged into the great maw, bristling through the bristles, swirling down with the water to the very depths of the whale's stomach.
This great leviathan, so large that a man may swim through its blood vessels unheeded. Well, it would eventually kill the whale, but that's beside the point.
Anyway, the plankton swept down through and through, listening to the screams of his brothers, and he struggled through them. Past them, around them, over, scrambling for over each body, until at last he reached the side of the whale's throat. And there he clung on and held tightly to the soft flesh.
I got it.
I don't think you guys are making much of an effort to go to sleep. Go on, lie down, eyes shut, we'll keep going. Alright, so the plankton's holding onto the side of the whale's throat.
I got it!
Thank you, Jen. And decides, using his little plankton arms, to struggle his way up, as if climbing the most mighty of mountains.
Struggling he goes, each vessel swelling a cliff face. And down the other side, a valley, and through, the rivers of seawater coursing around him, tugging at his every step. At last, the plankton reached the mouth of the great whale and saw beneath him the giant tongue.
Side of that.
The Scottish plankton.
Was so amazed by the size of the thing as it flabbergated in the creature's mouth.
That he vowed, one day I shall grow so large, one day I shall become more and greater than any plankton has ever been.
One day I'll be more than any plankton has ever been, ever.
And his inner voice said, there's no way you'll do that.
But how are you going to do that, plankton?
His inner voice was in fact Dracula.
Mexican Dracula.
Mexican Dracula.
Mexacula.
So he tugged himself up past the tongue, past until finally he arrived at the bristles of the whale's mouth, and he waited. For he knew the great beast would need sustenance soon.
I'm waiting.
What are you waiting for, Planky?
Proceeded to have a long conversation with his inner monologue.
Do you think that I should, like, maybe get my hair cut or something?
What hair?
Well, I've got some hair. It's not really visible, but I think it's actually kind
Suddenly, the whale's mouth gaped open, flooding the chamber with krill. The great waves tugged at the throat, and a screams of a thousand more plankton rushed past the plankton's ears,
dragging the poor little plankton down, down, down into the depths of the whale's belly.
Go wait there, Blanky. You're a loser.
I recognize him.
As they swept past, the plankton saw above him a gaping hole as he was reaching down the mouth, and he swam upwards, upwards, clambering once again over the others.
I'm gonna get to that, Dash. I'm gonna get to that.
About time you make a fucking effort.
And he went up and up and up. The tunnel, the darkness seemed absolutely endless.
This darkness is endless.
The plankton seemed to feel the need to explain everything that was happening to it at the time.
I'm talking to my inner voice.
Thank you for clarifying.
Up it went and up until finally it could see a sphincter.
A sphincter?
You might need to explain to your inner voice what that is, little plankton.
You mean where the pee? Is the peep?
Well, that's a component of it.
Is it the hole? Is it the hole in the bum?
Anal thing.
Sphincters are not strictly anal things. They're anything that the body uses to seal an opening, and a whale has a sphincter above its blowhole.
It's a hole.
It's a hole.
You're a hole.
You're an a-hole.
You're a black hole of happiness.
As the plankton's many inner voices deciding, debating the nature of the hole, they forced their way up. The plankton itself decided to force its way up and through, pulling and squeezing away. Finally, it reached the surface and saw the blue ocean. And with a great final heave, pushed itself forth.
Oh, come on, inner voice, let's do it.
You do it. Come on, do it.
Very supportive inner voice there. Oh.
And set out to the feeding grounds on a new quest. Where before its life had no meaning, nothing to set itself apart from the others, it had a goal. To be the greatest plankton of all time.
Live in a pineapple under the sea.
We will get sued.
I'm going to be the best plankton that ever was.
But it's still not clear to me how you will do that, Blanky. Like, we just got out of a whale and you're not big.
I have come through this massive hole.
But are you sure that's going to help you be a big Planky one day?
I'm looking out in the blue ocean. I can see the whole world ahead of me.
I just thought it was just the blue ocean. How do you know there's something more out there?
Come on, inner voice. I know it's us against the world.
Let's just let this not keep on going. Let's work our way across.
Okay.
Let's just climb up here. Come on, Tom.
Hang on. Can you just stop?
Oh, thank goodness for that. I couldn't
seem to have got
bear being around them any longer. Well done, Frock.
Oh. Good day, my friends.
Oh, hello there. You must be Pauper's man.
I am indeed.
Could you possibly get us to the shore?
But of course. Well, I'm going. You may as well interview me.
I was born in a small little seaside cabin.
That was the Broken Bird podcast with me, Lawrence Ashcroft, Thomas Jancis.
That is Thomas Ignatius Severus Ebuchadnezzar Telephone Fleona Barabbas Jancis.
And a great deal of thanks to our guests here today, Bark Theatre.
Sham Howard.
Tiara Bonsar.
Aine Dias.
Ruth Adams.
And last but not least, Jennifer Boots.
And that was Bark Theatre, Sam Howard, Tiara Bonsar, Anna Diaz, Ruth Adams and Jennifer Bates. Our producer was Farrokh Sultani.